Yo, what's up, family? Welcome to another episode of Fresh Feral Entertainment with your host, Forrest Feral.
It's God, Don the Ascended.
And it's Rod Agul back at you, another banger for the people. You
said Rod Ra's al Ghul?
I said Rod Agul, aka Demon's Heads.
Good shit. Hope everybody doing well. You know, appreciate everybody that's listening. Followers still booming, everything. Pod still consistent, so we appreciate much love to all the support, the fans, etc. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hope y'all enjoyed the last episode on the meditation, because we continuing with the dropping gems nonstop. As you read the title, this is astral travel, astral world, all of that stuff. We touched it before, but I feel like when we touched it before, it wasn't as solid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it was good, but I feel like it was still things we needed to experience. And so here we are coming back with more experience on that topic to give y'all more techniques, et cetera, more books, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And before I start, I'm going to let y'all know the two books I've gotten some of my information from. First thing I want to say, if someone trying to spit game to you and they can't tell you a book or where they got the information from, they probably capping. Because if it's about self, why ain't you giving out the information? You know what I'm saying? Mm. Why would you not want someone else to get the same game you want? You know what I mean?
Nah, I agree.
And so,
it shouldn't be like a gatekeeping process. Like,
right.
You also want people to have the same info as you, so they can go and look at themselves and make their own message.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was nothing but lighting up the candle.
Yeah, but also don't let books be like the end all be all. Like, just because you read a book don't mean you Jesus, nigga. You might just read a book because you probably still reading with public school teaching. You know what I'm saying? You're like, same. Oh, what did the author mean? What did they want me to interpret? Nah, but you know what I'm saying? But so before we get into this astral everything, we've mentioned this book more than once, Astral Dynamics by Robert Bruce.
Yeah,
great book. Tons of techniques and methods. It's more of like a new age rendition on astral traveling. I found some of the methods very effective for myself. I use them constantly. They really great methods. I just find them doing it for fun. You know what I'm saying? Another one that I've read is called The Astral World: It Seems, Dwellers, and Phenomena by Swami. I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name. I'm pretty sure if you type in Swami, you're going to find the book. You feel me? So, what do we think about when we first hear, like, astral travel, astral dynamics? I think, I used to think Doctor Strange off real.
Of course.
And,
I think about in the Avatar, when Aang would do that. Was it, like, spirit bending?
Oh, yeah. When he would go into that world, and he would just kind of go limp. Yeah.
Tell me, you're going to the spirit world?
Nah, not the spirit world. His actual spirit being. I remember in Korra how his grandkids, the girl was actually, wasn't it, Janora?
Yeah.
Spirit bending, and how she could, like, travel anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That was tough. Mm-hmm. You just reminded me. Yeah. And so, but it actually goes very hand to hand with the spiritual world. Because with astral travel dynamics, whatever you want to call it, it makes you more competent with the spiritual world, right? And what astral travel is just becoming more aware while you're sleeping. That's all that shit really is, if you want to break it down to the most basic nuances. It's being able to bring more of that conscious mind that is sleep into that spiritual world with you, which is where you go every night. Every time you fall asleep, your spirit is going to the astral world, right? That spirit world, no matter what, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, though I gave some books earlier, get whatever books, when it comes to any of this information, get whatever book sounds appealing and looks pretty to you, right? Because that's what's appealing to your mind. So, you probably gonna dedicate more time to that book or whatever's in there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Don't just get something because you heard me say it. If you look, like, it just don't look trash, bro.
Pick it up and be like, ugh, I don't even think I'm finna read this.
Right.
You pay your money, like, and not read that shit.
Right.
Your conscious mind already checked out.
Like, sometimes you can hear a title and you know, oh, I gotta read that book because that title, it spoke to you, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? When you hear something speak to you, you're like, oh, snap, that sounds kind of dope. Or that you look at something, you're like, yo, that's fire. It's speaking to you. So use that with not just the information we giving you, you know, books, you might not like the book being recommended. It might look like garbage. You might think the other one that I didn't say is fire. Go for that one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, though we're talking about astral travel, it's not something you teach necessarily. It's something you experience, as if with all the stuff we talk about. You know what I'm saying? You got to kind of step up to the plate to it. And you got to experience stuff to be able to express stuff. So what I'm expressing and what we expressing on this show is stuff that's through experience and understanding and reading. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so when it comes to astral travel and all that, most people don't realize that, or most people just don't remember having the out-of-body experience. I forget the numbers. It's like, it's more than 70%, though, that you don't even, you're not going to even recall that you even had an out-of-body experience. And that's for a long list of reasons. You could just not remember. The conscious mind doesn't remember much of it. You could have a failed out-of-body experience. You know what I'm saying? Tons of factors, mm-hmm. but that's not really the point.
It's a lot of ways it can go wrong.
Yeah, you could just, you know, just fail. You know what I'm saying? But, so, one, we're going to talk a lot about dreams this episode. So, I think one thing that everybody loves to talk about is lucid dreams. So, within your sleep, you have lucid dreams. What a lucid dream is when you have brought down your conscious mind and entirety with you there, and you are also active within that dream. And you're aware, okay, I'm in this dream, right? So you're like, I'm in this dream. I understand what's going on in this dream. I'm also having my own thoughts and actions because the conscious mind is there with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason lucid dreams are probably some of the most important when you have them is because the lucid dream is pretty much, it's a way your subconscious is speaking directly to you. You know what I'm saying? There's no way you not.
But I was gonna say, it's like you got full range to do whatever it is
so
that your mind can come up with.
Facts. Everything you see is being shown to you directly. Like, there ain't no, was I supposed to see that? No. You told yourself your subconscious mind is speaking to you and you are there fully. You know what I'm saying? You are aware of everything that's going on. You're like, oh, snap, I'm in the dream. So everything you're being shown is something that you need to be seeing, and it's trying to contact you. And the good thing about most lucid dreams, if you have a lucid dream, chances are I'm not going to say I have like a ton of them, but whenever I had a lucid dream, I've remembered it in entirety. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't forget the lucid dream, because you were there in the conscious mind. The conscious mind was awake while you was there. So when you come forth, those are the dreams you usually remember with full entirety, like, oh yeah, that joke was crazy.
Bro, you ever have a lucid dream, but it's like partly lucid, like you don't remember creating the scene or creating the situation, but you remember just kind of like being in the situation.
Well, I'm gonna go into that next, actually. That's a whole nother thing. It's called, I think it's called being a conscious observer, right? But I'm going to get into that after the lucid dreaming. But that's just as important and prevalent, right? So, of course, like I said, the lucid dream is you being active. And what's usually being told to you is something that's... Lucid dreams are really important. Like I said, they're usually something life-changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you... That's why you might not have them as frequent. Because your subconscious was like, God damn it, look. Look, bro. I'm trying to give you some that, like, whatever you seeing in that moment, it's probably something that will change your life or change how you operate. And even if it happened 10 years ago, you might not remember it from 10 years ago, but I can guarantee you probably move different after that dream for all you know. You know what I'm saying? You might not even be aware of it, but you probably move or act different ever since you've seen it. You feel me?
All right.
So then what you was just describing is called being, is cosmic observing, right? And I didn't just come up with these terms by myself. These are from the books I've read, and it's also from lectures I've watched too. I didn't have names for these terms. Of course, I knew of lucid dreaming, but I never knew this. I always just say I was observing my dream, but I've heard people call it cosmic observing, right? Mm-hmm. So this is when you can see everything and understand everything that's taking place in the dream. So when you wake up, this is basically when you wake up, because this is probably one you probably experience a lot more heavily. You see the dream, and when you wake up, you remember it for them good whatever minutes they is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I remember it. But then let's say if you don't write it down 4 hours later, you're like, dang, I had a dream earlier, but I don't remember shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's only a few, handful of I can remember to this right. day. But
yeah,
I have a lot of dreams like that where I wake up.
I had a weird ass dream where I was in the convenience store on a motorcycle. It was crazy. I remember that one to this day. That was interesting. I had stole some cereal on the bike like Ultra Rider. It was crazy.
Nah, bro. I had this one dream one time. You know how like in a horror movie where it'll be like a dark figure standing hella far away, and every time the camera pan off of them, they come back, they closer. Mm-hmm. So I had a dream where I was in like this dark corridor. It was like not like an alley, like bigger than an alley, with these big ass stone walls or whatever. And I'm just walking, and I turn around and I see a dark figure behind me, right? So I'm like, man, nigga, hella far away, bro. I keep walking, take a few more steps, turn around, nigga, a little closer. I'm like, damn, that nigga walking fast as fuck. Take a few more steps, turn around. I'm like, damn, this nigga is like up on me, right? But it's a dream, right? So you know, in a dream, you can't like take off how you want to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, I feel myself literally getting nervous and shit in my sleep. And like, I'm knowing what's finna go down. And I turn around for the last time, and bruh is literally in my face, lunging with the fucking knife. And I just wake up. Yeah, bro, that shit was crazy.
And see, I, again, that's for you to decipher. I can decipher for what it sounds like if I have that. To me, that sounds like shadow self, stuff of that nature. You know, the dark side energy that you got to embrace. That's what that might sound like to me. But again, the whole point of your dreams, and you know, we're gonna kind of get back topic on what this does with astral traveling and everything, but that's for, you know what I'm saying, the whole point is being able to decipher it for yourself, like we just said, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so they always say, and this is something I gotta get better at, because I'll sit there and wake up from the dream and I'd be like, dang, I need to go write this down. And I'm like, where my notebook at? And I'm like, dang, it's in my bag. Guess I'm gonna forget this one. But
if I be the same, I'd be like, yeah, if that pistol too far away,
I'd be like, dang, it's on that side. I'm like, man, it's gonna have, I kind of beat myself up. But you should keep a journal and a pencil or a pen, whatever, by your bed or wherever you lay. So when you have this dream, you could jot it down, because what you're supposed to do is come back to basically the unit. Your subconscious is giving you cheat codes, my nigga. It's giving you cheat codes. When you go back down there, you know what to do. Or when you see it again, you're like, oh, I already know what the fuck this is. So when you wake up, you like, this is what I need to do today. This is what my new goal. You know what I'm saying? It's a cheat code, literally. And when being able to decipher your own dreams and not have someone else or the internet help you out, that's the importance, because it's your dream. So you have to remember, the subconscious speaks in the same way it's programmed, right? Trauma, repetition, and symbols, my nigga. Right? That's the only way it can communicate to you. So you seeing all the symbols and signs and the repetition of things you experience and the trauma you experience is going to showcase itself in your subconscious. That's how it'll speak to you. It's meant for you to decipher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so through lucid dreaming is the best, is so important. On top of it, you know, you bring the full conscious down. When you have a lucid dream, you're understanding what those symbols are, right? So you're able to break down those dreams easier than when you're just cosmic observing, right?
I see.
So then when you are cosmic observing, you know what you're looking at, because you had one experience 5 years ago that told you what this symbol meant. You know what I'm saying?
It's like you just need the one time with the lucid dream to kind of just unlock the possibility. And then from then on, it's like you always got that unlocked.
Well, it's not. Well, remember, nothing is absolute. So you could have a cosmic, you could just be a cosmic observer in your dream, write it down, and you break it down after you do some meditation and some chakra work. And then you might have to lucid dream after. You know what I'm saying? All you can confirm in that moment is that you're doing something correctly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we're really going to be doing some cold game this episode, just like we did with the meditation episode. We already here. So there's three levels. There's three layers to you and your existence. You have the soul, and the soul is eternal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your soul lives beyond the dual. Wherever your home is, whether that's Wakanda, whether that's the Sirius, Orion, I don't give a fuck. Wherever that shit at, you know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. That's where your soul lies. The body ain't nothing but a suit. It's a meat suit. It's gonna, when you die, it stay here. You don't never see the body float up when someone die. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the spirit lies in the astral world. That's where your spirit resides. So if someone passes away, Their spirit is in the astral world. Their soul actually has two options. And this will be getting some good game. The soul can either go past, you have a choice almost. The soul has a choice. The soul can, you either gonna come back down here because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You gotta come back and learn it again, right? Mm-hmm. So now the dude you knew was Aaron might be Paul next time you see him. You feel what I'm saying? And or you go past the doo-wop and you go back home. You know what I'm saying? You did what you were supposed to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the spirit animates the body and is the bridge between the body and the astral world. The spirit has the ability to go to the astral world also through thinking.
Crazy middleman.
Right. So remember how we talked about in the meditation episode how you can zone out? That's awesome. Remember how I said there's a link between meditation and astral traveling? You zoning out, the alpha state can also, you also in the astral plane as well. Because you in the alpha state of mind, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, if I die, my body going to stay here. The spirit going to go to the astral world. Your tether to this realm is now broken. That is your tether. Your tether is simply, just to say, for lack of better words, you being alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
There ain't nothing to come back to. The soul can't travel. You can't do the little traversal because the body is broken. That cord is gone, right? So that's why I said your soul has the option to now. You have that decision because the soul can go to the spirit world and be like, damn, do I want to come back or are we Gucci, dude? This dude got some more shit to learn that I not realize and I not come what I was here to do and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Wait for your next meat suit to be delivered.
Right. And so this is a great example. Now we got to get into the ancestor talk because since the spirit resides in the astral world, all your ancestors do too. Okay. And remember, the spirit and the soul are not the same thing. The spirit can come back down here into another body, but the catch is, the soul can, but the spirit is still in the spirit. That, like I said, here, I'm Paul when I come back. Aaron, the personality, whatever you demonstrate, whatever makes up Aaron, say, oh, Aaron's smart, he's cool, he's funny. Those traits of me are still in the spirit world. So when you astral travel and need to communicate, you can call on Aaron. You see what I'm saying?
Even if you have already come back down here.
It's like a trait. It's an energy. It's energy. It's always talking about energy. Energy is neither created nor destroyed, right? So mm-hmm. My spirit can't die. It has to go somewhere. It still can be called upon. It can only be called upon, though, if you are remembered. And we'll get into that a little bit more, too. So let's look at the Dogon tribe, right? You know I love talking about the Dogon tribe. I think it's cool. I think it's cold. So in the Dogon tribe, they, until recent years, they send them niggas to school and the niggas come back Islam. I know this shit got to break their soul. Hold on, what you doing? What you talking about this Allah?
That's imagine a heavy-ass African accent.
And so, the Dogons had almost like a hive mind, like a universal understanding to each other. Like, okay. It was passed down from generation to generation because they understood, they had the same mindset about what the afterlife was, about what the astral world was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this connection. So if an elder passes away, the dude from the next generation, since they are so intertwined and interconnected, he can reach out to all his ancestors like that. You see what I'm saying? It's less work having to be done, too, because all the minds are understood and connected. They're all on the same path, same way, live, same, all of that, right?
Wait, say that one more time.
I'm saying if, for example, the Dogon tribe, right? Mm-hmm. They all have a similar network, right? A memory bank of information. Because they all have the same understanding of what death is or what happens in the afterlife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when one of them dies, they can communicate to them because they have a network of it's Avatar when he in the when he's talking to all the other avatars.
That's literally about to say next.
All y'all are already on the same page. Yeah,
Avatar probably the number one reference show on this pod now.
Bro, because it's goaty.
Yeah, no cap. Can't wait for the new stuff to come out, too. But what I'm saying is, you have that, because remember, only Aang, someone who's an avatar, had access to the other avatars. Same way, the Dogon tribe, everybody was on the same wave with the, what they, where they went. So because y'all all have this universal mind, no one gives a crap whether it's wrong or right. They all are on the same wavelength. So when someone passes, they can easily pull from that person. Yo,
they know just what to look.
Boom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they also would bury their relatives or family in the same houses. So boom, you got those people connected. That's one big, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's one big, that's all that energy you're able to tap in, right? Right there. It's unlimited information. This is how your ancestors actually work. The personality, or the, what you call the personality, that energy exists in the astral world from now on. No matter what. No matter that person left, no matter they came back, that character trait is still there. Right? So if Don passes right now, Don, whoever Donovan is still in the astral world, if I need to call him my bro for some advice, I can call him, but he might be Seth. You know what I'm saying? Rod might be Quinn. Who knows? You don't know. Or he might be gone. He might have passed.
I was gonna say he might be Duke.
Right. But it doesn't matter, because you have to answer, you have the energy. So that's how someone's like, y'all talking to my ancestor. They might be capping, but I'm saying you can now reach out to these information banks. And what makes it easier is having an understanding of the personality. But we'll get into that more. I got some real cold game. But this is the whole purpose of having an altar too, because you can now connect to that specific personality or energy of that person, right? That's so if you know Aaron loves comics, Aaron loves some jackfruit, and Aaron loves to work out, your altar for me going to be different from what's going to be from Rod. So you can put an Ant-Man comic book. I'm giving y'all some game. Y'all want to send me some gifts. You know what I'm saying? Put an Ant-Man comic on the table. You put some weights, and you put like a jackfruit slider, we're popping, we're good, man. You know what game you need, right? Because now you light the candle, you channeling the energy that was considered Aaron, because that's how his personality was manifested. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have fancy and jackfruit sliders now. Look at them.
Right? So, and this is why I tell people, and this is, you know, I always shit on religion because I can. And so this is why all the altars of Jesus are stupid, because you don't know that nigga. You don't know what he want. You don't know what he likes. You feel what I'm saying? So who are you talking to?
Is they invoking that energy.
Right.
They just believe in.
And everyone has a different perspective. So you might not even be talking to Jesus. You might be talking to whoever or whatever in that moment versus what you deem is Jesus or the energy, right? And so that's why I say, so if I want to contact a past relative, I'm like, oh, okay. I know she liked Morgan Freeman, that one episode of Martin, and Orange is, boom, that's my alter. You see what I'm saying? I'm playing Martin in the background with the captions on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Bro, it really make all that, like the voodoo shit, it put it all into perspective. Because they was really just creating energy centers to talk to their loved ones. And be around their ancestors.
Exactly. And you reaching out to that signature. So now when you meditate or project, you can reach out to them whenever you do that, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether that person has passed the Dew Water came back. Their energy resides in the spirit world now. And so long as they are, but here's the cat, so long as they are remembered. So someone is there until they no longer remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when Korra cut off the avatar state, no one no longer remembers the avatars. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they are no longer remembered. So they're no longer being able to be accessed because you cut off the connection. But I'm saying personality-wise, if you don't remember, let's just say, you know, you say rest in peace, such and such. And eventually you just say, stop, 10 years from now, you stop saying rest in peace, little homie. He might be gone if no one else saying his name either. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I were to say, yo, who the first slave or who the first black guy to die in the Civil War? Anybody know his name? He gone. You know what I'm saying? Gone. Because nobody no longer remembers his name. No one is no longer speaking him into existence, right? But there are some people that are constantly being spoken no matter how many years apart. I mean, we still talking about Abraham Lincoln or whoever you want to call, right?
Bro, everybody has two deaths.
Whether they existed or not, right? So you can still... What are you saying?
Everybody has two deaths. So when they actually die, and when the last person says their name for the last time.
Exactly. But as long as their name's being spoken and they're remembered, you forever have access to that individual. But,
you know, it's crazy. This also brings up or calls back one of our other episodes where we were talking about, like, power of words and spelling. Mm-hmm. Like invoking someone's energy by saying a name.
Right.
And he was talking about, like, remember in Harry Potter, how they wouldn't even say Voldemort's name?
You know, like the one who must not be named is crazy.
Right.
Right. And it's that, ooh, same thing.
Ooh. You just brought some more shit up too. See, and there's a reason why if you read certain texts or about certain deities and people and they say, oh, his real name is not to be spoken, you know why they say that certain thing? Or, you know, you might read something like his name will not be spoken. It's because if they tell you the real name, it loses its power because it might not be as fantastic as you make it say. So you can read up on a deity, Hades. They just say Hades is where he rules, but his name is a Hades. They say we cannot say his name because it is too hard to pronounce. That's not necessarily saying it's hard to pronounce. It might be something like Jim. It don't got the same power if his name is Jim now. You see what I'm saying? So you're like, I know
it. All rise to Almighty Jim.
So you're like, I know a dude named Jim. Jim is Haiti. So, and you see, it loses its power. So sometimes they say you can't name it because if you hear the actual name, it's not going to have the same power. That's why certain people write things like that anyways. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I tell you dude who wrote the underworld Jim, you're not going to, you might not want to invoke that power as much no more. You know what I'm saying? And this is going to lead to something else. This is total. I learned this last week of me while I'm expressing this. And I only realized because I've been doing this the whole time. So I was watching the panic lecture and he copyrighted his trademark on his, he calls it self-deification, right? Mm-hmm. So the process essentially, instead of reading the deities, you are the deity. You read them as if they're you. It connected with me because I said, oh, I've been doing that for the past 5 years before I heard of this. Nigga, I've been calling myself Horace the Pharaoh for as long as I can remember now, right? And mm-hmm. I only say that because the first time I read the story of Horace, what did I do? I went to the PlayStation store and changed my PSN to Horace. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. I am Horace now. It was like,
right? And so right. In games, I put in Horace. So when I make the little character, so what I'm saying is the first time I read the story, I didn't read him as a deity. I started reading his attributes and said, yo, this is me. And that process is what he coins it is called self-deification. And it's not, you can do it with any deity because, you know, there's like millions of deities. You can do that instead of looking at the deities. And this is how you can pull those energies from the astral world too. So it still connects to what we're talking about. You can still you're pulling from those energies because you're invoking that energy. You see what I'm saying? Instead of reading it as, oh, this is Hades, you just say, you read it as I am Hades. You read it as I have the power to do. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
So you can do that with any deity. You can just type in deities. First deity, you see Zeus. You start reading his stuff, you are Zeus. So anything Zeus can do, you can do. Because you, instead of looking at him as Zeus, you're looking at it as you. Because they're all energies. That's why there's so many. There's more deities than just the Greeks, the Egyptians, and fucking Oshun, and all those. The same ones people always want to mention. You know what I'm saying? It's all fun and games. You start pulling out the little Slavic deities on their ass. Start Kernabog and Kukulin. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, what the word? Those are all energies for you to utilize. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so this is why you're worth more dead than alive. You see what I'm saying? Because once someone has passed away, their impact is stronger now, right? Because your spirit resides in there. You might be calling and invoking your energy to that extent. You see what I'm saying?
It's like it becomes a lot easier for people to invoke your energy,
you know? Right. That's why you don't become a legend until you die for some artist, right? Think about some artists who went crazy once they passed. You know, rest in peace to Pop Smoke, but look at the energy that was invoked. Hey, and I don't care what no one say, Pop Smoke wasn't even selling like 30K. Was selling like 30K before he died. The moment he died, 200 plus millions. You know what I'm saying? Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But because immediately the energy was felt. You know what I'm saying? The presence. The energy was felt. That's what makes someone legendary, not necessarily, oh, what I did on Earth. Nah, it's your impact once you leave. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You hear me?
So, I also think that the death of something religifies something, in a sense, in the astral realm, too. Like,
what you mean by that?
I'm not saying it makes it bad, but I'm saying, for example, everything has a precursor. So the death of one thing can lead to the religion, religify. It's not even a word. For example, you had when Tupac died, we have Tupac, like a national, like a Tupac Day around the world. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's almost religified, right? So, you know what I'm saying? When Pop Smoke died, Woo Wednesday. Are you catching what I'm saying? So now, take that to religion. Everything got a precursor. For Judaism, when what died? The Kabbalah. The Kabbalistic teachings, when that died, you now have Judaism. When the Gnostics teaching died, you now have Christianity, right? The death of it always brings forth something that religifies the mysticism of it. You see what I'm saying? All these were considered the mystic
cycle of belief,
right? And it religifies it because you want it to be back. So you kind of tell yourself things. Oh, this makes it back. Oh, this. You see what I'm saying?
It's like a void, a vacuum that needs to be filled.
Yes, right. So it's like, okay, the mysticism just died. What's the closest thing we can get to the mysticism? Boom. Okay, we don't have no more Gnostics. We have Christianity. But then now it's getting riddled with human thought. People got opinions on shit. You know what I'm saying? Why are there so many different versions of the Bible, or so many versions of this, or so many versions of that, or everybody got their own opinions? It's not absolute. It never was. You know what I'm saying? Right. If it's something that everybody has to live by, how come there's so many different opinions on it? And that goes for any religion. That's not just like be on Christianity. I'm just saying now you have an influx of information, but it's nothing. Where did it come from? You know what I'm saying? Because it all comes from one central place, but it's divided into so many. And so I bring that back just to kind of talk about with death and ancestors, because all you're doing with astral travel is trying to bring more of that conscious mind into the dream world, right? Because instead of calling it the death realm, it's the spiritual world. All you're trying to do with this is being able to bring more of it with you, right? So every time you go down there, you like, yo, you training your mind to bring more of the consciousness with you, to stay more awake. Like, yo, we got 2% awake down here. Can we get to 3? Can we get to 4? Get to 5? Get to whatever helps you elevate to whatever level you know, till you figure out what your goal is, right?
Right.
And so, and you will know you're doing it because the work gonna start paying off. That's real intelligence right there. That's beyond anything you can learn in a book. You know what I'm saying? It's through the experience. You can read a book on how to play basketball all day, but you ain't gonna ever beat the dude who's been playing it all his life. Because if I shoot at this angle, I'm gonna get a bucket. Dude gonna foul the mess out you, bro. Right? And so that's accessing. So what you're accessing is the specific attribute or energy of that person in that light. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, honestly, that's like I said, that's the real game of this. Because a great example, too, we do this all the time, but we do it on, I'm not going to say we do it, it's spiritual, but we use it for mundane purposes, not realizing, because you can also pull attributes from your ancestors in the astral world that you might have never seen, but you know it exists. And I heard an example of this, and it made me laugh because this is something all guys do. So, for example, you might have a coworker or a friend at work, and you just know them as that. You just might know them as a coworker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you see they got kids, so you know they got to be doing some shit on the side, but you don't know of that side, but you know it exists because they have kids. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, you might have not seen the sexual side of them, but you know it exists.
Okay.
Oh, because they have okay. Kids. I'm with you now. Yeah.
Right? But you only know them as the coworker. Like, oh, I see them as, yes, sir, I'll get that paperwork in by today, by then. But then you're like, oh, them folks got kids, so they got to be doing this too, right? A great example is like when you see somebody at a party and they nowhere near how they are, like, at work or in class, or you know what I'm saying?
It's like seeing your teacher in public.
Perfect. There you go. Hit the nail on the head. And you like, yo, that can't be right. You know what I'm saying? You like, this person is like a whole new person because your mind is only seeing them in the personality of a teacher, of this professional. But you know these sides, and you know they exist because you have them yourself. You know what I'm saying? You're not the same person at work that you are outside, that you are reading a book, that you are with your girl, that you are, you know what I'm saying? You multifaceted in that sense. So understanding that everybody got them natures of them, no matter for what. I got an example. It might be a little more vulgar, a lot more, what do women be saying? A little mansplaining in that sense. You know, when you're younger and you see a girl and you think she's fine, and you know, you get to imagining XYZ, but you ain't never did it with them. but you can imagine it, you can feel it, you can do the senses, etc. You know what I'm saying? As if you had through the imagination, right? You're accessing that facet of that personality of them. Does that make sense?
That's J. Cole and Wet Dreams.
I just know she a freak.
There you go. Right there. J. Cole and Wet Dreams. He tells some I imagine it. Is she ride on it? Is she sis on it? But he ain't never did it before. But he, to him, he did it in your mind. You see what I'm saying?
Did you do it on purpose?
What?
You said ride and sis, but she ain't never did that before, no.
Oh no, that was on accident. That was just, you know, that's just how it come off. That's the game, son. But you see what I'm saying? You can access, I'm not saying you gotta access that. I'm just giving a mundane example that everybody can kind of understand. So you can pull different facets of these people because you know a version of them has to exist in that capacity. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have access to that energy. So let's say you need a motivational me or you need the smart me. You know it exists because you've either seen it of me or you know it exists because of stuff I've done. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's like when you see a dumb person that's a millionaire, but you know they got to be smart in some facet if they like, you know what I'm saying? You're like, how did this person get a million? But you know they got to be smart in what they're doing in some moves. So you know that aspect of them is alive somewhere. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It resides. You can pull those same facets to people when you're calling from people and ancestors in the astral world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not focusing too much on how to get to the astral world because, like I said, it's about activating your consciousness. The same things you do through meditation can also help with your astral travel. Reiki, energy training, teaching yourself, right? All that goes into the same aspects of pulling yourself down there. It's about understanding what you're seeing and are experiencing down there. That's really what matters. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But this is why you're supposed to write your dreams in the first place. Because every dream you have, you are going into the astral realm. If you want to understand the spirit world more or your spirit world, write down your dreams. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that's really the game right there. But everybody get a notepad. Put that bitch on the nightstand.
Right? And then write down your next three dreams, decipher them, and see how you operate different. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. everything is a message, and it's just for you. And if it's just for you, you might need to pay attention to the shit. You got to become more lucid and understanding of the energies, right? So you don't need nobody. It's about not needing. You don't have to go to the internet. What does dream mean? You ain't got to tell your homie what you think that mean. It's about, do you know what it mean, nigga?
Right.
You giving yourself cheat codes. And if you write it, you're going to remember it. You know, when you write certain things enough times, you're going to remember that junk. You know what I'm saying?
Repetition.
And the astral world is the merging point of all that. The spirit, the soul, and the body. That's your incursion point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you could say your ancestor or the soul has left and went back to wherever, but you can always call upon them. They sending shit from the soul through all the layers to the spirit. So sometimes you get people that's saying things like they've been getting messages, but they don't really know what they are. There's also a reason for explaining that too, because you got to think there's a lot of layers coming down into this reality as well that's kind of blocking the message, as we know. You know what I'm saying? So you can, if, for example, there are certain people that's been dead for as long as we can remember before we was born, but people still kind of immortalize them or like, I'm invoking that energy. So you got people like Elvis. You got people like, I don't know, just think of people that's been dead forever that people still, you know, Jimi Hendrix, people still saying they inspiration Jimi Hendrix, so they felt him and did stuff like that. Elvis and big musical icons, but they've been gone forever. They're said that you can pull your, the soul can come back down and come through and still give you information, just as we just said. But you also got to understand that the soul has to come through the astral world, then it has to go through your body, and they got to go through your mind, and they got to go through your ego before it hit the brain. Through all that, it can become convoluted. You know what I'm saying? The message.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now you have more work to do when deciphering, which is why it's not as easy as a practice to everyone. So getting there is one thing. Understanding everything is where the magic is, right?
Right.
And so, like I said, I mean, it's really just essentially this. It's like this backup generator of information, right? It's all these layers to get to the subconscious. And so, honestly, the only way you can clear that up will be through your chakra work. So it's all a big rotary system. right? So you're just in the astral world. You don't understand nothing. You got to work on the chakra work. Or maybe you can't get there. You got the chakra work down, but you're struggling. Everything kind of coincide with everything. You really got to do a little bit of everything. Just find the ways in which you do it that work best for you. You feel me?
Nah, I get that. You can't expect to. It's like, how do I explain this? It's almost like a car manufacturing system. And it's like, okay, imagine you got a car and you sent it to get the engine put in, but the car can't leave the shop if somebody never put the doors on.
Right.
So it's like you got everything you need to drive, but you ain't got no doors.
Like you asked for a Lambo, but you got a Jeep, and you like, bro, this ain't even making sense.
Right. It's like, bro, you all out of sorts, even though you done the stuff to that sounds important. You feel me? You still gotta have everything. To have one full functioning or fully functioning machine.
Facts. And I know I didn't focus too much on the actual dynamics of astral travel because I think those come as a result of everything else this podcast has been doing over the years. That's going to come itself easy, but you got to understand how to even get there and what's the point.
Bro, that's like 75% of the battle. It's like if you can comfortably get there to where you worried about how you should be moving once you get there, then that's a whole nother conversation.
Right. Like, once you're there, you can do it. But now, do you understand what you're even looking for? Like I said with the meditation episode, you can meditate and you can be able to get an alpha state, but what you meditating for? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you traveling here for? What is in here that you need to pull out into the conscious mind that you need, that you can use for yourself? You know what I'm saying?
Nah, facts.
But on that note, y'all know the drill. We're going to go ahead and close this episode. I appreciate everybody been listening, especially if you came this far. You know what I'm saying?
Game on top of game.
Facts. Love to see it.
Rod?
Oh, you ain't say you stole it. You said it's about that time, then you went into something else. I was like,
nah, bro. He said we was going to close it out, bro.
Okay, for sure. From man to king.
From kings to gods.
This has been Fresh Feral Entertainment. Peace, family.
And we outie.
I'm out.